Good evening, and welcome to yet another episode of The Last Knock. Right on cue.
Nice. I worked on that for hours.
I know. I am Johnny Numb, and joining me tonight, as always, is...
Billy Crash.
And this is our show where we discuss, against the popular opinion of social media, the worst horror films of 2018. Now, keep in mind that this is just, these are the worst, not necessarily the, not all of them are the worst. I have some, you know, we break it down by, I was disappointed.
These are all the worst for me.
Well, for you, they're
these
the
all
worst.
Suck. I had, all should be avoided.
I had some that were close calls, like on the edge, that could have been good.
I left all those off, or else we'll be here forever.
Nah, we won't be.
Dude, you know how many movies? I left like 30 movies that fall into that category.
Well, I'm going to go through mine quick. Bill, you're always like, let's get it over with. The podcast will be 15 minutes.
If this is the worst, let's get into the worst.
Well, this is like all I had. This is all I had. All
right, whatever. So let's start.
Yeah, because Billy's impatient.
No, I'm not.
I have to change his depends before I put him to bed.
I could give you an elbow in the face. You're right next to me, you dumb shit.
Haruken! Well, anyway, to get things rolling...
get things rolling,
Well... These aren't films that I would necessarily discourage people from seeing.
Then how come they're not on the worst list?
Because they didn't make the cut for a 3-star movie. That's why they didn't make it. I'm not going to bring up a 2.5-star movie on our best of show, Bill.
Yeah, but I'm leaving all of those out. Everything I'm talking about is 1-star or less.
Well, you stay patient there, Billy.
Stay patient. No, I mean, you're just the worst show. We should just give the people the worst, not the mediocre. Just go
then
for
fucking
it.
Do it.
No, you do it, you son of a bitch. Get on it.
And fucking do it.
You
Bill.
Get on it.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. We've been doing this show for fuck. We've been doing it 5 years.
This is how we do it every year.
This is 5 years.
And it just magically falls out of your brain every time we sit down.
Oh, you piece of shit.
No, you, Bill.
Where's Coast? Just fucking do it. Disappoint.
You know what? I'll cut these out.
No, don't, because they're important.
No, they're not, because you said they're not important.
Well, I never saw that. What are you talking about? What is that?
Oh, God.
Go for it. Do it. Do it! People are loving this right now.
Oh, yeah.
They do. They love this shit.
Oh, yeah, really?
They do.
Really?
I get all the time, Vicky.
We should sit here and do this more often.
I love it when you and Johnny fight, so there we go.
Yeah, we're like an old fucking married couple here. Yeah.
Just do it.
Two movies that weren't all they could be, I guess you could say. And they were like, oh, there could have been something there. One, which I'd been hearing a lot of good stuff about, was the found footage film, The Devil's Doorway. Which you might
never heard of.
You might have an interest in it, Bill, because it is an Irish horror film.
Okay.
And you're a fan of Irish horror, I know. I think you have some good points to make, because you say, yeah, there's a lot of good horror coming out of Ireland.
Yes, there is.
And a lot of the stuff I've seen is good as well, to great.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
But it's a found footage film. It takes place in the 60s, I believe. Strange doings in a convent, kind of. It seems like there are miracles happening. Statues bleeding and that sort of thing. And there's speculation of a demonic possession going on. It starts off promising. It's sort of the notion of an elder priest and a younger priest investigating this. And the elder priest is sort of having the typical crisis of faith, you could say, that you to associate with these movies.
Yeah.
The acting is fantastic, I'll say that.
No, that's good.
But it's kind of, the film
is hackneyed.
Yeah, it's kind of hackneyed, and it's kind of stuck adhering to kind of found footage conventions. Like, you know, the light that keeps blinking off, the camera that gets dropped, kind of those sorts of things. And I felt like it kind of lost its way. Like, the interesting stuff is the crisis of faith stuff, the demonic possession possibility running throughout the film. And then I feel like they kind of lose track of that. And it sort of... it sort of loses its way. I like movies that kind of take a look at spirituality, but they don't they don't feel the need to maybe what am I thinking of here? When they try to take shortcuts,
okay,
or try to kind of find ways out of like addressing the more serious, heavier stuff.
Okay.
So that's kind of where I fell with
the weak writing.
Yeah, it could have been better. And there's some mustache twirling with some.
Oh, please.
You know, it's just like in the dialogue and the shifty looks, kind of.
Gotcha.
So I would rather watch The Last Exorcism again. Honestly, did you like that one?
Yeah, I didn't mind that at all. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that one a lot as I was watching The Devil's Doorway, and that movie has its flaws as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that would be that's a film that.
But it has Ashley Bell and Caleb Landry Jones.
And Patrick Fabian.
And Patrick Fabian,
who's having a crisis of faith as a sham faith healer character.
It's Cotton.
Yeah, he's fantastic, and I kind of like that his internal conflict and his journey in that film, and I thought that film did it better.
I think we had a great feel to it.
Yeah, no, I have it, and I haven't watched it in a while. But anyway, my other disappointment from this year could have been good. I guess it was better than it had any right to be, but it didn't quite make the cut. It was Tales from the Hood 2.
I haven't watched it because I heard it's disappointing.
Yeah, and I
waited for like over 10 years for this thing.
Yeah, and it's a bit low budget in the look. The wraparound story is pulled from RoboCop.
Oh, boy.
And some of the sort of messaging is very heavy-handed in the film, I found. And it stretches on for almost 2 hours, which is kind of... it's not very economical as a film. As a horror film, kind of, you kind of got to keep it reined in a bit, I think, to keep the viewers. But there are like some short tales, and then there's one that stretches on very long and is very heavy-handed. Its heart's in the right place, but it just doesn't capture the same effect as the original Tales from the Hood, which was excellent. That's one of the great anthology films, I think. But it was the same creative team of Rusty Cundiff and Darren Scott. And Keith David stepped in for Clarence Williams III. And, you know, Keith David's Keith David. But he didn't have a lot to work with, unfortunately.
Oh, that's a shame, man.
So that's why I put that as a disappointment.
Sure.
Yeah. So anyway, Bill, we can move on to the more bad stuff proper now, if you like. You got that on your list. So you bring it up, and we'll talk about it.
My three most disappointing are all one-star movies. One-star because there was something there, some way, somehow. Maybe some best boy electrician did a good job or something like that. But the Krampus Origins. Ooh. I know a lot of people who saw Krampus movie were probably like, oh man, can't wait to see this thing.
Yeah.
One star for Maria Olson, who we love.
Maria
Olson 66.
Yeah.
You know, she's amazing. Love her to death. But that was a... Wow, that the special effects, the story, it was just wow. The Cloverfield Paradox, a movie that never should have been made. The only reason it was released was because I think Hoodwinked pulled a fast one on Netflix and sold it to them. Because everybody was waiting for Cloverfield Paradox in theaters, and suddenly it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
And then everybody watched it. And I don't know one person who wasn't pissed off after watching this piece of crap.
Except me, yeah.
Oh, what a piece of shit this movie. It's absolutely awful. Absolutely awful in every way, shape, or form.
Bill, I want to mention something that Overlord, which I mentioned in the Best Of show, I was under the understanding that, or there was it was rumored that that was going to be part of the Cloverfield universe.
Really?
I thought I heard something about that, but maybe I'm mistaken. But it doesn't seem to have any parallels to the Cloverfield universe. Which is probably an endorsement.
A Quiet Place should have been. I remember when I saw A Quiet Place, I was like, that should have been in the Cloverfield universe.
I mean, it could have been.
Should have been.
Yeah, okay.
We should do it now.
All right.
And my biggest disappointment of the year, and I know some people love this movie, and I don't know why. Johnny and I did a show on this.
Yeah.
We both didn't like it. I fucking hate it. It's so poorly written. The writing's lazy.
Yeah.
And I think the filmmakers are insulting horror fans everywhere, and that's Halloween.
It was disappointing, Bill. And I wanted to add that I've listened to a couple podcasts discussing that film. And I think the common thread that seems to run through it is most of the time people are fans of the original and they're kind of cutting, they're kind of making these allowances for the new one. Right. It's like, well, this was not good, but, you know, I feel like it's like because of the reputation and the fan reaction to the fan love of the original is making people like maybe gauge that rate this one a bit more generously than they would if it had no relation to anything else.
Well, it was funny. I forgot someone on Twitter had asked, what's your favorite movie franchise where you like all the movies?
Are there any?
I was like, not me. And I can understand when some people are like the Evil Dead franchise. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
I have, you know, I have trouble with the Army of Darkness. But just because it's a little too hokey for me.
But that's pretty
But that's still a good guy. It's still great, you know. If I had to pick a franchise, it'd probably be that one, you know.
Well, I mean, Ash versus Evil Dead almost compensates for feelings you might have about the other stuff. But, yeah, Halloween was not good.
No.
Yeah.
So where are we now? Not good?
Well, my not goods, and I'll bring this one up first since I made a point to watch it last night because I'd heard so much about it, and I was sorely disappointed by it, is Summer of 84. I did not write down the directors' names. There's three directors, right, and they're the guys who did Turbo Kid, which I actually liked.
Right.
I thought Turbo Kid was a lot of fun.
I know Palco liked this movie a lot.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, Palco Designs.
My problem with this one...
I gave it 2.5 stars.
Oh, you saw it?
Okay. Yeah, I was like, okay, I was like, I saw this movie before. Like,
that was
like,
exactly how I saw it.
There's nothing new, nothing intriguing. I mean, the acting was great and all, but so what? You know, it's like...
You said it.
It's rehashed.
Yeah, you said it, Bill. It's like, it's so blatantly trying to do the Stranger Things thing. The synth soundtrack... The kids who are like, that's like the four boys who discover some macabre going on in their suburban landscape.
It had one cool scene near the end that I didn't expect, what I thought was awesome. I was like, wow.
I will say this, what I liked about the film was there were these poignant moments, like there were just these very subtle character moments between the characters, but they were just like 2 or 3 seconds. Like just like a character making a gesture or saying something or offering to do something, you know, that had the impact for me. And there was also an exchange near the end, which happens after the thing you're talking about,
which
was very potent between
oh my
two.
God, yeah,
because I was like, that is not what I was expecting to happen here.
No,
you know? and it does.
That was cruel and cold, man.
It was, and I loved that about it. That moment really stood out, and it was very well performed. And yes, I was thinking about Super Dark Times, which I love.
Like, if you had a choice of Summer of 84, Super Dark, go with Super Dark.
No fucking question. Have you seen that one?
Yeah, 4 stars.
That's how I rated it. I was like,
I didn't see it as a horror movie, so I didn't.
Well, yeah, it's not.
It's a heavy thriller.
Yeah, but I was thinking about that one the whole time, and I was like, oh man, this isn't hitting with near the impact of Super Dark Times. Yeah.
And Ozark's Charlie Tahan is in it, and he's freaking fantastic.
He's scary.
He's great, and it was like, I wanted more from that movie.
You know what's interesting? You know what's interesting is Super Dark Times really kind of spoke to me, even in its fantastical elements. It still seemed very like, oh, this could happen.
Yeah,
like
I could feel it happening.
I could have been one of those kids, you know, with what was going on in it.
Owen Campbell and Zach, he did a great job.
And the soundtrack of that film was great, too. A lot of 90s cuts in there, alternative cuts.
Yep.
But yeah, I was thinking about that the whole time. I was thinking about the film and the book, I Am Not a Serial Killer. It's essentially rehashing that same plot. And I was like, they're acting like this is new, but it's not.
Totally not. Nothing was new. I was waiting. I was like, where's the new thing? And it never showed up. It never arrived.
Yeah, and I felt like Turbo Kid was a good movie.
Yeah.
And I felt like...
Turbo Kid was fun. It was a fun send-off of like... crazy action, weirdness.
Post-apocalyptic, you know, sci-fi. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just had fun with that. Michael Ironside is the bad guy, you know.
Oh, I didn't...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it was definitely a step down from that, I thought.
Yeah, totally.
I was like wondering, okay, this is all well and good, but there, like you said, Bill, there's really nothing nothing new going on here.
Nope. Yeah. Saw it all before.
Yeah, it just does kind of the minimum.
Yep. So, I have to do my not good list now.
Well, I mean, I'll go through mine. I'll go through the rest.
Yeah, go ahead.
This one doesn't need to be talked about much because I think people kind of know what to expect at this point. But the first Purge, which I saw in the theater.
I never saw any of the Purge shit.
Yeah, I mean, I like the first one and Election Year. But this one was just kind of like, kind of seen it, kind of seen the lower class conflicts, the rich trying to, you know, profit mm-hmm. off of the lower class and get the lower class to kill each other kind of thing. It's very a pedestrian kind of origin story for this tale, and it's not very well directed by Gerard McMurray. There's some poor blocking and just it doesn't really hum along with that much excitement.
Gotcha.
And it's just kind of like, we've seen a lot of this, the commentary before, done better in some of the previous films.
Gotcha.
And you know, it's very heavy-handed. So. Hereditary. You liked it a little more than I did, Bill.
Yeah.
Or you liked it.
I did like it. I wanted to like it. I was angry about certain parts of it. I gave it 3.5 stars.
This was another film kind of that I felt set up some really interesting themes and kind of let them unravel at the end. Like,
yeah,
you could have made a horror film just about the trauma that the family is experiencing and dump all of the witchy mythological stuff that's going on there.
I didn't mind
integrated it better.
That was it. I think it wasn't a well-woven fabric.
No, it wasn't.
And it should have been
beautiful to look at, but
right from the beginning when she said, yeah, my mom had her own rituals, and I'm like, okay, is this ritual automatically, you know, a type of ritual.
Yeah.
And then it and so I loved like how the movie ended and all, and I loved Alex Wolff. I think his performance was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things that happened in the movie were really disturbing and like, wow, I didn't see that coming. But it was, again, it wasn't tightly wound. I think what would have served the movie best was if it's like, that's all the material, it's like, give it to the best editor on earth to help make that a great story. Yeah. And who was the editor for that? Wow, there was a lot of editors.
Okay, all right.
But the film editing was by Lucian Johnston and Jennifer Lame, and they were both pretty lame. I think they let a lot fall through, and they shouldn't have.
Well, I also think some of the problem lies with Ari Aster, who it's his debut feature.
His debut.
And I think the thing is he was trying to cram a lot into this. It seems like he had a story of a family going through trauma, but maybe there was a bit of doubt in there that could carry the film, and he was like, let's put some scary stuff in here, let's put some exorcist shit imagery in here. That kind of bugged me because I felt like that in the third act, all of that pulled away from what was set up before.
Right.
Kind of, there wasn't that human payoff, there was that aesthetic payoff. But I felt like, what does this mean for the characters? Why do I care that it's going this way? And that's what frustrated the hell out of me with this movie.
Because they had some weird messed up stuff going on there.
They did.
And it was like, wow, this is great. It's like they're letting it like rot on the vine, you know?
Yeah, I thought it's kind of like, well, he brought that stuff out, but he didn't really do anything
mm-hmm.
new with it. And it just seemed like a letdown for me.
Yeah, so it's like why 3.5 for me? And that was because of the cinematography, the acting, the lighting, and some of the storytelling. It's just it's a shame, because as I'm watching this thing, I'm like, oh, if they had done this right, this would have been on the best of, you know, list, like really high up there, man.
I agree. Yeah,
it was almost a reluctant 3.5 instead of a 3. You know?
I know, and a lot of people love this movie. A lot of people are talking about Toni Collette, and I think she does the best with what she's given.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think her performance.
Gabriel Byrne was like, it was like sad to watch him in that. Actually.
Well, he's like the polar opposite, because he's like receding.
I'm not used to seeing him play a role like that where he's so passive.
You should you know, it's kind of an interesting counterpoint, but the movie, it's not a horror. Louder Than Bombs.
Yeah,
it has, I see that. It has some similar themes to this, but it's a straight drama.
Gotcha.
And he's in that too in a similar kind of capacity. So
gotcha.
It's interesting to see that contrast there.
Because yeah, I love gigantic Toni Collette fan.
Oh, she's fantastic.
Alex Wolff, man, that kid should be in freaking anything. He just, the hell he put himself through, the ranges of emotion, he was just ultra phenomenal.
Oh yeah.
He blew my mind.
Yeah, so definitely, it was unfortunately a disappointment for me.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. What else you got on that?
Next up is Unfriended Dark Web.
I didn't see that because everybody shit on that one.
You know what? I know some people like this. Mark over at Movies, Films, and Flicks actually was a fan of this, so I checked it out kind of, and I was like, I was just so disappointed by it. It just kind of cast a pale shadow of the original, which we both liked. We both liked the original Unfriended.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this just kind of seemed like there's some interesting ideas in the early going, but I don't know. It just felt, everything felt kind of unfulfilled to me by the end. It just felt kind of cynical.
I'll see it when it pops on, but I'm not going to run out and grab it.
It's not worth paying money for, so if you can see it for free, do that. The other one I have is kind of unfortunate because it has some people I like in it, and it's the badly titled Dead Night, which was directed by Brad Bura, written by Irving Walker. Yeah.
I see already.
Yeah, got Bray Grant, who I like.
Danny Roebuck!
Yeah, he's in there too.
Shit, man.
And the great Barbara Crampton.
Uh-huh.
It just felt like a movie that really didn't know
what it was
to do. Yeah, there seemed to be a identity crisis going on as to what kind of story it wanted to tell. It was just kind of set up with a bit of promise, but then that promise is kind of
quickly diminished.
Yeah, it was kind of dashed because it went off in a whole other direction.
Dead night, bring us your dead night. Sorry, how's that?
Yeah, so in any case, I don't have much to say about that one just because it was kind of, unfortunately, just kind of forgettable, but I was like, oh, even at 80-some minutes, it felt very long, so.
Yeah, I guess my two, not good at all. In fact, these are half-star movies out of 5 for me. Mm-hmm.
Billy actually had 0-star movies on his list, which is worse than on my list. So
yeah, and those are coming up.
Yeah.
Those are the worst of the worst for the year.
Yeah.
But my first one, half-star movie out of 5, is A Demon Within, directed by Ayesh Banker and Justin LaRue. A really awful, hideous, pathetic, third-rate possession film where we've seen everything before. Skeptical small town doctor, you know, who must, you know, you know, is he going to find his faith again, you know, as he meets this woman whose daughter is in trouble. One of the things that's really, I don't care, don't care about spoilers for something that's shitty, but at one point in the movie there's this possessed child actually kills people. They're dead. They're in the house. There's bodies, including a cop.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, near the film's end, they're focused on the parents and all. After this child is relieved of the demon, we never see the girl again. We don't know what happened to her, if she was arrested or anything like that. But, so, and I was like, what? It's like you couldn't tell us, like, what happened to the kid? But the mom is going on a date with the doctor. And it's like, what the frig is going on? Where's the kid? What happened to the kid? What happened to the priest who was helping the kid? Who, like, you know, got the doctor to find his faith again. And, like, and it's like, this is just really awful.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like they were taking religion and punching your face with it. And that's what I hated the most. It seemed like it was Christian dogma disguised as a horror movie.
Oh, that's not good.
No, and that's why I really hated this piece of shit.
There was no Kirk Cameron cameo in it, was there?
No, there wasn't. Not this time.
Okay, he was left behind, I take it.
So that was really awful. And the other one, this was like 3 movies that this guy made in the course of a year because he had an empty house. And his first movie wasn't too bad. But it's called The Crescent Moon Clown by Nigel Bock. It's half star.
It's not a good title.
No, it's poorly written because it's like they're trying to make a 90-minute feature film over a one-trick pony. There's this house. It's got cameras in all of the corners, and there's this young woman. It's her first time acting, and you know what? She wasn't that bad, considering what was going on.
Yeah.
Although she was talking to herself way too much. Jetta Tione Anderson, and she's talking to herself, "What? Who did this? Who did this in my house?" You know, it's like, no one would be saying that, you know?
No, no. And she's alone, right?
Of course she's alone.
Okay, yeah.
And then it just got really stupid, just really, really dumb. And it was, I had to hit the fast forward button because it's like, okay, somebody drew hello in blood, supposedly, on her kitchen floor. She's mopping it. It's taking 10 minutes. I have to hit the fast forward button, you know?
And the credits were 10 minutes, probably.
It was just, no, the credits were like 30 seconds.
Okay.
Look at it. That's all it is right there.
I see that.
Directed, written, produced by Nigel Bock.
Small crew, small cast. Yeah.
Small everything.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
An exercise in micro.
Yeah. So that was that. So that was like a half star. That was just awful.
Boy,
the first one, I forgot, Bad Ben.
It wasn't Silent House then.
It was actually semi-decent. They had a scene in there that knocked me off my chair.
Okay.
But this was just absolutely deplorable. Although I'm actually getting to the real deplorable stuff now.
I was going to say, Bill, you're not going to mention this one, are you?
No, but I will once you bring it up.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Since I left these two off, I'll just mention this one quickly. Billy and I differed on The Endless. I really did not like it. However, we did do a show on it back in April, so check that out if you want.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah, but I was really it really.
No, and I understand,
and you know what? I don't have the connection to.
Resolution.
I think Resolution's okay.
I loved Resolution.
But when it turned into like a shared universe kind of thing.
That pissed me off.
Yeah, it pissed me off too, but I was like thinking, well, maybe this will make me appreciate it, and it just didn't. bottom line, I felt like I was stuck in a loop, but not in a good Bruce Willis loop. So,
yeah.
But the other one I was going to mention on my not good. Is Hellraiser Judgment.
Oh, boy.
Directed by former makeup effects man Gary J. Tunnicliffe, who I think has handled the last two Hellraiser movies. And he also...
Mishandled, you mean? Thank you. Good night, Jeff.
Yeah,
carefully.
Egregious misuse of chains. Yeah. Come on, we need to show him cruising to show him proper use of chains. Come on.
Who's the accountant, man? Who played that?
Gary J. Tunnicliffe.
Yeah,
That
was the best part of the whole movie.
Best centibite in the movie.
Yeah.
He's like Abe Sapien in Hellboy.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. That's kind of funny because that seems to be the one thing that people can agree on about that movie. But what did you have to say about that?
I gave it like a half star too because it was just like you were saying before we did the show. It was like the movie Seven
grafted onto a Hellraiser movie,
and like Police Procedure at its absolute dumbest, worst, unintelligible, and absolutely not going to happen in the real world.
I was hoping you would mention that.
Holy shit! Paul J. Williams is like doing backflips somewhere after seeing this.
If he was smart enough not to watch it.
To see poor Heather Langenkamp come in for a real bad cameo.
2 seconds.
Oh, yeah. Ooh,
you can barely tell it's her. It's so fast.
Yeah.
She's married to Gary J. Tunnicliffe.
Yeah, I figured that.
Or is she?
I don't know.
Okay.
But, like, you know, it was just, you know, and you have the cop who's tough. And it was just like, there was just so much stock bullshit.
Seen it.
And I hated the whole element of, like, you know... See, the cool thing was they were Cenobites. And they were angels to some, demons to others, and now they're just demonic forces. And I hate that crap.
They're just cameos to some now.
There's some absolutely awful... Who is it? Jophiel? I think Helena Grace Donnell plays this representative from fucking heaven.
Oh,
coming in a white suit. And it's like, oh, you can't, like,
it's like bargaining for souls.
It was all, I was like, what the hell is this crap? It was a poorly written piece of shit. It really pissed me off.
I gotta say something, Bill. The ending of that movie would have had such impact if the movie, if the series were better overall, because there's something profound about where the movie winds up, but because it's in this movie, it sucks.
Loss, yeah.
It totally sucks. You know, it's like, oh, well, who gives a shit? Because it's crap. So, yeah. You know, it's, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's hideous.
Yeah, so it's hideous. Yeah, just another one that, one for the fire, kind of.
Yeah, definitely.
In the Hellraiser franchise.
So disappointing.
Yeah, it was.
Just the whole, and oh, you have to be cleaned and all. And it was just stupid and...
Stock, again.
And it was just dumb.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Dumb. Now we're down to worst of the worst. Top three worst. For
yeah,
you
and I guess it doesn't really matter what order I go in with these because we're both going to talk about the same one last.
Yeah, I think so.
So I'll just rearrange mine ever so slightly. The worst of the worst, one of them for me was the movie Slice. Written and directed by Austin Beasley, unfortunately starring Zazie Beetz.
Oh, I love her.
Who fucking killed in Deadpool 2 over
she
the summer.
She owned it. She crushed
as
it.
As Domino. Good lord, yes. Yeah. You know, this movie has like a cool one-line synopsis where a serial killer or a slasher is stalking pizza delivery boys in this small town. But this film is not content to leave it at that or doesn't have enough creative ideas for that premise. I was thinking the New York Ripper in a small town, and they fucked that up because they had to add werewolves and witches and Indian burial grounds.
Oh no, the Indian burial ground!
And there's like this community of ghosts that are living harmoniously with the humans, and there's all of this muddled commentary going on, and it's a total fucking mess, and it's trying to be funny, but it is painfully unfunny, and it's it's one of those movies where I felt horrible for almost everybody who was acting in it because nobody comes off well. It's like that painful thing where a joke is made and then someone is like pointing out, like explaining the joke that was just made.
That's
and
awful.
It's not a highbrow joke.
Oh my god!
You know, it's very clumsy.
I'm glad I missed this piece of crap.
Yeah, you know, I watched it and I was just like, how much worse can this get? The weird thing about it though is that it's kind of an innocent movie in its own way.
Okay.
It's almost like you could show it to a 13-year-old kind of, and maybe they would like it, but I don't know. It's harmless, but it's also bad, and it's just totally creatively desperate, I thought. And this was an A24 movie, but it played more like a runaway from Blumhouse, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, man.
It's just not very good at all. So, yeah, cut that out of your watch list.
You know what? This movie is so bad, Johnny.
You can't remember it.
I can't remember. I am looking at images of it. And oh, now I remember it.
Okay.
Well, oh my
is
god.
Is it all coming back to you?
Oh, dude, this is why I go to therapy, man.
You're still working on it.
Now, my three are 0-star movies, and one is worse than all of them. I mean, guess goes into negative territory, but this is a 0-star film out of Bulgaria in the United States.
Oh.
Dave the Dead Bloodline, a small group of military personnel and survivalists survive in an underground bunker as they seek to find a cure in a world overrun by zombies. And it is just so stupid. What did I write? What was my...
Did you write a review?
I wrote hideous!
Yeah.
Exclamation point!
Boy.
It was like lame acting, bad, typical military crap that you would expect from a sci-fi horror film. We gotta do this, let's go! You know, it's just really like...
Yeah.
You know, and these people have like... Yeah, there's no training. They're just stupid. And if they were, you know, in the real military, they wouldn't survive like 10 minutes. And, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was just awful time and time and time again at every turn. And I just remember Whatever little hairs I had left in my head, I ripped them out watching this. It was just awful.
I can see, Bill.
Yeah.
The proof is there. Yeah.
Dave, the Dead Bloodline, it just stay away.
So stay. I take it it's like it's only a relation and title only to the Romero film.
Yeah, because it was by Hector Hernandez of Vicen and written by George A. Romero is on it.
He might have a creator credit or something.
He might.
Based on characters by, maybe. Or I don't know, because it doesn't look like
there's any
characters.
It doesn't look like
characters.
That's there.
What does it say?
Yeah, based on the motion picture,
Day of the Dead.
Yeah. This is just...
Yeah.
It's just horrible in every way, shape, and form.
You know, Bill, I don't think I've heard anything good about that movie.
There's nothing good to say about it.
Yeah.
Nothing good to say about it at all.
That's a shame.
It's a sham.
All that too. All right. Well, this was another one I tried to pack in within the past 2 days in interest of trying to see more 2018 movies, even though this, like Day of the Dead, I'd heard mostly terrible things about. Sometimes we like to torture ourselves, folks. And I have a feeling you didn't even watch this one, Billy, because you probably deemed it a waste of time, was Slender Man.
I didn't get to it at all.
It's based off of this internet legend, apparently, that I had no real knowledge of.
Bottom-rated movies number 52.
Holy shit, it's down there
it's
already.
It's down there already.
Oh, wow. I can't say I'm too surprised. You know, because if you don't know anything about Slender Man going in, you won't know any more about him leaving the movie, because they do such a horrible job establishing this boogeyman with a blank face kind of that terrorizes people via the internet.
Whoa.
And makes them go crazy and all this stuff, and it's a group of teenage girls.
Of course!
You know, and unfortunately, I will say this. You got Joey King, who I've seen in a couple good movies, and I think with the right script, she is a good actress, and she's
mm-hmm.
definitely promising. So I hope her agent helps her make better choices in the future.
Yeah,
because I think she could be another Chloe Moretz, actually. And also Annalise Basso, who we liked in mm-hmm. Oculus.
Yes, we did,
and she was great in Ouija Origin of. Origin of Evil.
Yeah, which was
much better than the
yeah.
the Ouija proper film. But it's just a mess of a movie. The director was Sylvain White, and the choices are questionable, and he does what most directors do when they don't know how to drum up tension in creative ways. They just do slick shit with the camera, basically. And make it do all sorts of weird things. So there's no real craftsmanship going on with this movie. It just kind of rambles for about an insufferable hour and a half. Another movie where I felt bad for the performers.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are like teenage girls. And I got the feeling they weren't given much in the way of, like, what's my motivation?
Yeah.
So it's really not their fault that their characters don't really jump off the screen, you know. I think Joey King and Annalise Basso try because they have a bit more experience under their belt, so I think they were just trying to reach for anything they could
yeah.
in their performances, but some of the other actresses did not come off very well at all, and I felt bad for them. And it's just, it is as bad as everybody's saying, so I would advise, you know, do what I should have done. And
not watch it.
Avoid Slender Man. And it's not scary either, so, you know.
Well, if you want to fall asleep, Johnny.
Okay.
Here's one for you.
Sometimes I need help.
This is one of the worst films ever made.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and this is my number two, so you know my number one is going to be, like, one that you definitely shouldn't watch.
Yeah.
This is called The Legend of Robert the Doll. This is the... Actually, this one is the should be the Revenge of Robert... Is it? No, yeah, it's the Revenge of Robert the Doll. What the hell was it?
There's
like two of them.
Okay.
Yeah, the Revenge of Robert the Doll. It was just so pathetic. It's by Andrew Jones, who wrote and directed this train wreck. And it's... First of all, the whole thing is a ripoff of Puppet Master 3.
Which is great.
Yeah, and the real Charles Band should be quite upset by it. Because that is a great movie. That's the best of the Puppet Master series. Mm-hmm. And so this thing, they created this period piece with about a $10 budget, which you can't do. Like, they show the same train pulling in, like, you know, two or three times in a film. It's just really awful.
Yeah.
But, again, like, I felt for some of the actors because they tried really hard. Like, Lee Bain as the toy maker, who looks like elfish in this sometime when he... It's just really bad. Gareth Lawrence was amazing. And, you know, Eloise Juriff, you know, she really tried. But it's just it's so dumb. It's so boring. It's like, we are the Nazis. We want to know what you do with the powers of the book. And he makes this doll there. Oh, we got to get the book. But no one's saying what they want to use it for, to raise the dead, maybe. Make dead soldiers walk. Like,
right.
We don't know. So the whole thing is, you know, is the toy maker escaping on a train.
So you don't know what he wants to do.
Yeah, well, the toy maker's trying to keep it from the Nazis, but we don't know what the Nazis want to do with it. We want to make dolls fight the Allies. Or you want to raise the dead and turn them into dolls to fight the... Like, we don't know.
That's bad.
And then we don't know who's a British agent or not, but it doesn't matter because it's boring. I fell asleep. I woke up. I had to go back and watch stuff that made me fall asleep again. And it was really bad. And then... And then there's this big thing at the end. Of course, Robert the Doll, like, sort of saves the day, maybe. But you wonder, like, I don't know. It was just really dumb. And the funny thing is, they go, at the end of this movie, it's like 1940, whatever. Suddenly, it's like 75 years later, like they say present day.
Uh-oh.
So the toy maker, who was 75 in it, must be 150 years old.
And he's working
on a Volkswagen. And it's like, what's going on? And someone's like, I want the doll. No, you'll mishandle the doll. Or like, I want the book. No, you'll mishandle it. And so Robert the Doll's got to go out and get revenge again. And you're like, what the... It was just so stupid. And, of course, at the end of the movie, it's like, oh, the third movie's coming out soon. It's like...
Is that a threat?
Yeah, it's like absolutely no commitment to quality storytelling at all. It's not even a fun movie. It's just hideous. It's absolutely awful.
You know what, Bill? You need to watch Puppet Master, The Littlest Reich.
I know I do.
Because you need... That's this sounds like the movie that... The Puppet Master, that The Littlest Reich was.
Oh, man.
Actually, yeah.
So this thing is awful, and that's The Revenge of Robert the Doll. And I didn't see The Legend of Robert the Doll, but I would miss that, too. No, I did. They're all the same. It's the same
God.
Thing. It's just...
Yeah, yeah.
It's crap. It's absolute crap, yeah. You want to see Robert the Doll? Like, what the...
It looks like Colonel Klink, actually.
It looks like a Chucky with a haircut.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of bad eyes.
I used to have hair like that, actually.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you did. That was awful.
Long, flowing, blonde locks. Yeah.
So, I guess this brings us to what was your number three and
my number one. Yeah. So, we're all over the place, folks.
It doesn't matter, because
we're as messed up as these movies are messed up.
This is the worst.
I think I'll let you lead on this one.
I had the displeasure of seeing this at its world premiere in Stroudsburg, PA, at the famous Sherman Theater.
What was this really the first screening?
It was one of several premieres,
Okay.
And so I go to the Sherman Theater, and this thing's playing, and right from the credits, I was like, oh no. And it's like, how can I escape? And it just got worse from there. And it's called Death House. And it is one of the top four worst films I have ever seen in my entire existence. And I have watched thousands of movies. This is not fun. This is not check your brain at the door and have a good time. This is just absolutely awful in every way, shape, and form, except for a few things that I'll get to shortly.
Bill, I was well aware of your your stance on this film, and actually I think your review is one of the... Honestly, it's a negative, extremely negative review, but you are very diplomatic.
I wrote a review of this, yes.
Yes, and it's a fantastic review from earlier this year on Crash Palace. But I can't deny that your review had me curious to see this film for myself. Because I'm like, wow, just... Wow. And you know what? What if I like it? Because we've had these disagreements in the past, too, where I've... Or vice versa. You've liked something like Strange Color of Your Body's Tears, for instance. You love it, I hate it. You know, it's that sort of dynamic. Right. I watched it for myself. My overriding thought with this film was, and it's my Letterboxd review actually, is what does anything have to do with anything?
Exactly. It was...
What does it... Yeah.
Greg Palko, he was like, as soon as I told him, he was like, oh, I got to see this because it was like so bad. And he said, and I quote, Palko Designs, he said, and he said, yeah, put this on, see this on your shelf. So I'm doing it. He said, it is so bad. And he always rips apart movies that he hates on Twitter.
Yeah.
He said, it's so bad, I don't want to rip it apart and give it any sort of notoriety. So in this way, Greg Palko is acting like the Grateful Dead, who were so opposed to the Vietnam War, they didn't even write an opposition song because they didn't want to give it any acknowledgement.
Yeah.
So that's what he was like. It's that's like nice. They took a whole bunch of scripts and like threw them up in the air and put pages together. Just like you were saying, it's like nothing relates to anything.
No.
It's like,
no.
It's completely nonsensical. It's a waste of talent beyond reproach.
And the big thing with this movie and the way it is being sold is, and it's kind of a dubious thing, is the Expendables of horror. Now, the Expendables movies aren't that great
to begin with.
And something I saw someone else mention on social media was that this is not a new thing. Rob fucking Zombie does this with practically every one of his movies, and he's not asking for special acknowledgement.
No,
for
he's doing it well. Even though
he is,
even the Rob Zombie movies I don't particularly care for, they're well crafted.
Exactly, and he's making better use of the actors too. I think much better as well. So
they're not just standing there doing nothing,
looking for their cue.
I must say, I was impressed with Cody Longo, who played Jay Novak in a movie where his character was ludicrous.
What was he supposed to be again?
He was like some sort of special agent, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And he at least knew how to walk and stand, and I that might seem trivial, but if you watch this movie, it's like you could have had cardboard cutouts all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara Crampton she tried.
They were smart to give her one of the more substantial roles, but yeah.
Debbie Rochon, and the physical special effects, like when he went into that one room which lasted only like 10 seconds with like the skeletal type bodies in it.
Like the skinless people?
Yeah. Okay. That was awesome.
No, that was good.
And it's like, well, but the thing was, this was so convoluted.
And so random.
Random, unfun, not pleasurable, not like, oh man, we can make a drinking game out of this.
Or no.
This is Ed Wood bad. This is like really like awful, angry bad because it's such a misuse of all of these wonderful people in it.
Yeah.
I don't know how they were in it anyway. And I remember as soon as it ended, and the smattering of applause from the audience, I ran out of there, ran past the free movie poster, ran past the free food, all that crap, and I ran outside. And as soon as I got to the sidewalk, I just yelled, "Fuck!" really loud. I was going to leave after a minute.
Oh.
And I was there writhing in pain with these bad CGI effects, bad directing of these poor people, of characters that were just mishmash of stuff that made no sense at all.
What was anybody's motivation? Why were these agents there? It's explained badly. I had no idea what was going on.
It was a very undercooked, underprepared script to begin with. I mean, this was like...
When all else fails, have a blackout and a riot that's poorly shot.
Oh, and it was just... let's throw in some heavy metal music and stuff and like...
Was it Hatebreed and elevator scene?
Absolutely. It was like I almost threw up as...
Your hands would have been shaved off.
I was trying...
It's like, what the fuck is this?
I was curled up on my seat, falling down, because I'm like, what is... This is so stupid. It wasn't even... There was no suspense. There was no engagement. Nothing made sense. the five evils. Like, what the hell, man?
Evil.
Oh my god. And I just was embarrassed to even look at it. It was embarrassing to watch.
Yeah, it's just like nothing. You know, Bill, we've watched movies in a future episode, or I don't know when it'll post, but we did a show on surreal horror that'll see light of day eventually.
Right.
But we kind of talk about those movies that kind of favor the random and the visual and,
right.
and, you know, sound and, you know, creepiness and just weird stuff. This isn't in that range. This doesn't pull you along with, like, the logic of a dream and you buy into it like Eraserhead or something like that, you know. This is...
There's a complete lack of storytelling.
No, yeah.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah, you have a minimum of, like, confident storytelling in those movies that make them what they are. This has none of that.
No, nothing at all. There's no merit to any of it. No logic. And even if it's, like... You know, like I was saying before, you know, I watched John Wick 2. You know, I knew I had to check my brain at the door and just go along with this, you know, preposterous story and just, like, immerse myself in the action and have a good time.
They tell the story well, though, in that.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you couldn't do that with this because there's nothing even remotely worthwhile to hang your hat on.
Like, when you don't have, like, just a basic foundation, then everything else coming out of that falls apart. And that's what happened here. It was like, okay, these agents are going to this place and they're putting on these VR goggles and
they're studying serial killers or
something, and then there's this whole room with these people who are like, what are they supposed to be? They're gonna get killed by the serial killers or be simulated killed in some VR simulation, and there's a green screen in the back. I'm like, what is going on? The whole time I was like, what is going on in this movie?
Yeah, there was no cohesion.
There was no answer.
No logic.
And when it was trying to be profound with the five evils, and I was like, just... I'm giving the computer screen the finger right now. Yeah.
It was really... Yeah, you know what? This is my top three worst horror films ever made and top three worst films I've ever seen.
That's profound, Bill.
It's awful. It's horrible. I hate to feel that way, but it was just like there's no fun. Like, you could watch a bad, you know, Greg Palko wants us to do a show on, you know, the best worst movies. You know, movies like, you could have fun watching Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Or Troll 2.
You can't have fun with this at all. This can't even be a guilty pleasure. I mean, if somebody liked it for whatever reason, congratulations. But this was just an incredible, insurmountable disappointment in every level.
Yeah, and it's another film where I was kind of like, I think it ranked a little lower on my worst of list, Bill, because there were moments where I had this maybe Stockholm syndrome reaction to what I was watching. like I was locked in a room and I was just like having some fits of absurd laughter at stuff I shouldn't have been laughing at.
Yeah,
and that's ever so slightly. made it a little better, but it's more like this laughter of disbelief at what I was watching. I was like, oh god,
I don't know how these people said yes to us. I don't know. I mean, looking at these names, it's just absolutely just shocking in every way. It's just
it
was like watching a plane crash right in front of you and there's nothing you could do. It was just absolutely
horrific. What did you say, that this is the first part of a proposed six films
overall?
I write scripts.
Yeah, I wouldn't wish this on I wouldn't wish this viewing experience on anyone.
I will say I'm glad I watched it. Wow. You know, I'm glad I watched it myself, just to form my own opinion and to see, I was like, oh, is Billy being hard on a movie? Because, you know, and am I the, you know, because sometimes I can be the softy of the two of us, but Billy was right.
This really turns my stomach even talking about it. It's that awful.
Yeah.
It really pisses me off, this fucking piece of shit. Really awful.
You know what, Bill? Barbara Crampton is much better utilized, again, in Puppet Master, The Littlest Reich. The takeaway from our worst of show is everyone should see Puppet Master, The Littlest Reich.
Oh, man. Then, wow. And this is the littlest podcast, Johnny.
I know.
The podcast that could.
I feel so, I feel so small after it, actually. Yeah. After our opening 10 minutes of yelling at each other.
No, that was fine, man. I love people.
I love yelling at you, too, Phil.
No, it was just...
Yeah, I mean, I didn't... You know, like I told you, my worst of list was a lot shorter than my best of list for this year.
Mine
which
too.
I think was a good thing.
So, yeah, I had a ton of movies that were in, like, some of the movies that you mentioned in the beginning are in my netherworld of, like, not good, not bad, just hovering in there. The neutral zone, you know?
It's kind of like you get to them when you get to them, if you get to them kind of thing.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, and it's sad. There's not a lot to, it's sad when movies are in that netherworld.
Because that's, and sometimes I feel that that's the worst place to be because it's like, well.
Yeah.
You know, it's better like, oh, I'm really curious about one of these
because
they're so bad apparently, but you know.
Oh man. Ah.
So Billy, I think in honor of our worst of show, we're not doing scream outs.
Nah, I don't think we should.
Yeah.
We'll hold off. We'll save for something cool and fun, whatever we're doing. Whatever the hell we're doing next.
We've expended enough energy on
movies you wanna have sex, horror movies you wanna have sex with.
Oh.
That'll be our next one. I have to forget it. No, I won't.
I think we should.
Oh, God, you're sick.
You're the one who always says that, though.
Yeah, I know.
That's your line, man.
I'm the one who likes writing sick crap, but anyway.
Movies I want to have sex with.
But, you know, man, when it comes to, like, making movies or writing or anything, like, I have boxes of stuff that will never see the light of day because I know they're shit.
Yeah.
You know, and I have stuff that, you know, I've gotten feedback on stuff that, I tried to write a novel once, and this guy, did I tell you a story? I sent it to him. I wrote this novel at grad school way, way, way back in 96, and I sent it to this literary agent, you know, wanting to be represented. And I had my reservations about it, but it's like, you always try.
Mm-hmm.
So I was waiting, 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 so I finally wrote him again, and I said, did you read, you know, so-and-so, the book? And he wrote back, and I have it saved. He said, that piece of shit, I threw it out in the trash. And I laughed my ass off. I didn't get upset because I knew he was right.
Yeah.
I stopped writing for 3 years.
Wow.
And I was going to give up writing if I couldn't get it right because I knew I wasn't performing well enough. And that's when I got into screenwriting and I found out that that did work.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot about storytelling from writing screenplays. But I wouldn't write a script, one draft, and like, hey, let's make a movie. I would write it, rewrite it again and again, go to professionals, ask for feedback, make appropriate changes. And I still have a script. It's almost ready to go.
Mm.
I've been wanting to film it for 2 years, but it's not right. And I can't figure it out. So guess what? I'm not going to make it.
Yeah.
Because I know all these people are going to be involved with it at the end, and I want them to be proud of it. And I don't want to...
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, I don't want to put out a piece of something subpar and just say, yeah, I did a movie. And all these people feel bad about, like, well, you know, I didn't realize it'd be garbage.
Well, it's kind of...
Like the Troll 2 scenario, where those actors felt awful when they were like...
You know, the documentary they made, Best Worst Movie, is really good.
It is. It is a good documentary.
It's kind of fascinating to see how everybody feels about it.
And how the director is so outrageously egomaniacal. Oh,
he calls his actors dogs.
Yeah, that's awful. And it's like, this is your... You created this. You're responsible for this mess.
Yeah.
It was very disheartening to see his reaction.
Yeah, I've seen other interviews with him, and he's the same.
He's an asshole.
In most of them, yeah. So... I'm with you, Bill. I think that's a good point. Just like, you know, you don't want to let that group of people down.
Yeah.
And like you've said before, like any movie that gets made is a miracle. I'm just wondering where the miracle money is coming from for some of these movies.
I don't get it.
You know,
I don't get it. I don't know how the script for even Halloween was greenlit.
No.
Like that, no. That, I would have said, whoa, you guys need to do some heavy rewriting here, 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 and here. How does Michael Myers, how can we hear his boots in this scene like crazy?
Yeah.
And then he's, what, tiptoeing with a body to stuff in a closet?
Because like, it's more effective in some places than others, apparently.
So how come the daughter doesn't care about her dad being killed? How come the wife doesn't care about her husband being killed? How come the, you know, like, it's like... How come these kids are in love, and then all of a sudden it's like, you know, we hear this thing like, you know, he's different when he drinks. It's like, where did that come from? Where, like, it was just like just stupid. It's like they were making it up as they went along.
It was, and you know what, Bill? If it did not have the name Halloween attached, it would probably be on Redbox instead of in theaters.
Yeah, it'd be dying in obscurity.
Like a lot of these, some of these movies we were talking about where you are passing through them on Redbox because you just look at them and know you're in for a certain...
piece of crap.
Exactly. It's like, to me, that stuff sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, so these are those, so this is our warning show, our warning to you. So,
That's it. Yeah, that is it. Sorry for the negativity, folks. Only comes once a year. Unless you want more of it, then we can deliver more of it.
That's the lie.
We can join the rest of the internet and complain about stuff, too.
Yeah, but we don't complain for complaining's sake. We complain because we love.
Well, and I think we try to be diplomatic too, yeah, Bill.
We love horror movies. I mean, I saw 47 horror movies from 2018.
Yeah, which is more than what I saw. So
yeah, because I wanted to see great, hopefully great stuff that we could talk about.
Yeah, I mean, we did talk about great stuff on our best of show.
Yeah, we hope you like that. That's one.
Yeah,
and
we hope everybody goes out and sees Puppet Master: The Littlest Reich.
Yay! Yeah.
So that's the takeaway from this. The Puppet Master.
And on that note, I'm Billy Crash. You can find me on Twitter at Crash Palace, and also go to Crash Palace Productions for links to this show and wonderful articles. And you could get merchandise for The Last Knock and Crash Palace on Redbubble.com. Johnny Numb, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Letterboxd at Johnny Numb. There are no H's in those Johnnies. And you can also find my movie reviews at CrashPalaceProductions.com.
Well-written movie reviews, by the way.
Aw, shucks, Bill.
It's like, I love proofreading your stuff because I don't have to, as opposed to other things like
that. That's because I obsessively read over my stuff like six or seven
good man,
times
Johnny.
Before sending it to you. I have a problem. Yeah.
All right, so here's hoping 2019 brings us nothing but awesome horror films that we could ruminate about and just... say, look at how awesome this genre is, you horror-hating people who don't get it.
I just want to sit in a library with a pipe and a fire going and just talk about the great movies of 2019.
I want to sit with a fire and roast my weenie.
Okay, you can do that too.
Okay.
All right. I'll make s'mores.
On that note, goodbye.
Bye.